All right, thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. And Miss Karina and Brother Jed, thank you for that song. And thank you, everybody, for their part in allowing our or having our church be what it is today, and it is a blessing to me and my family. We just read in Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." You know, I used to say often, and I still might say it, that children are a gift from God. But then I started thinking about something. Saying that children are a gift from God sometimes can imply that we can do whatever we want with the gift that God has given us. But the Bible here tells us that children are a heritage of the Lord. And we will see a little bit later on that they're meant to be used for his purpose. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, those children in the hand of a mighty parent, we can say, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And by the way, having children doesn't have to be a stressful thing. I can't tell you how many times after having my firstborn, how many people would tell me, this is how many you ought to have. It ought to just be two. And if you want to be crazy, you can do three. But anything more than that, it's suicidal. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of wondered, like, wow, is it really that bad to be a parent? And let me say this, according to the word of God, children are a good thing. They are a blessing. The Bible also says that they shall not be ashamed. Who? They're making reference to that mighty man with those arrows. But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've seen this verse many of times. I've taken time to memorize this verse as a parent. But I never really looked at that last part until recently. Really, back in the Bible days or back in olden days, whenever you would see your enemy at the gate or you would meet them at the gate, it would either be for political reasons or it would be for military reasons. And the Bible here is telling us that mighty man, should he have to meet his enemy at the gate for whatever reason it may be, as long as he has his quiver full of his sharp arrows, arrows that he is skilled in using, arrows that he has full confidence in utilizing, he's going to be confident that everything's going to be okay. There are several reasons why we as parents should take the time to study biblical child rearing. First and foremost, it's because children are a mighty tool in God's hands. You know, back in, when I was 15 years old, when God called me to preach and I decided to give my life to the Lord as a teenager at Pacific Baptist Church. By the way, that was the most sensible thing I've ever done, amen. And thank God I made that decision 23 years ago. And when I did that, little did I realize that me with my mission and serving God, whatever it was more of a general desire back then. Now it's more specific as the years have gone on. But anything that I intend on doing for the Lord today, next year, a decade from now, I realize it's going to involve my children. It's going to involve my children. And as a result of me understanding that the children that I have been given by God and how they will be a valuable tool in ministry, in service for him and his purpose, I've got to take the time to study on how to rear them properly. Another reason why we should study biblical child rearing is because whether or not we know what the Bible perspective for child rearing is or not, our children will learn from us one way or the other. Today, right now, children all over the world are either learning from godly parents that have a biblical perspective or from Christian parents that have no idea what the Bible says. I want to encourage us to seek the Word of God. Another reason for us to study the Word of God and biblical child rearing is because children can be a source of great discouragement and displacement if they are not raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. By the way, an untrained or neglected child, when I say neglected, I don't mean someone that's left in the shed in the backyard, but a kid that may have their provisions, may have good food every day, may have name brand clothing, may be a part of a sports team with all the nice tennis shoes. But what I mean by neglected is a child that is untrained and neglected spiritually, neglected by their parents, not being trained properly, they can cause great stress to a family. This is all introduction. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And by the way, maybe we know somebody. We know people all over maybe that one of their biggest discouragement and stress factors in life is their kids. They can't seem to shake it. They're doing well at work. They're getting promotions. Their marriage is doing good for the most part. But when it comes to their children, they almost feel like failures, almost feel like they miss the mark. Another reason why they can stress us out is because it can help cause us to lose confidence in our parenting. As a result, maybe we're not parenting effectively with our own kids and we have other ministries who almost feel like, how can I help other people if I can't even get my house under control? And that's something that we ought to consider and be cautious about. Another reason why we ought to train or learn this area of biblical child rearing is because untrained children can cause us to do less than we did for the Lord. In other words, we're occupied spending all of our energy instead of doing things for God. We spend our energy dealing with the unnecessary baggage and stress that comes with children that are not properly trained. We start viewing parenting from a materialistic perspective. It's almost like we give up spiritually. Well, you know what? I've already tried. They're just not going to read their Bible. They just aren't excited about church. So let me take a different approach just to make them happy. We want to make sure our kids have everything, even things that God doesn't deem a priority. And by the way, with us, we have necessities and we have luxuries. The same applies with God. There are some things that God just doesn't think that we need in our lives. We want them to be comfortable more than content, but we don't realize that the greatest possession our children can have, the greatest gain our children can have, is contentment, We want them to be intellectually refined. This is a big one in this day and age, right? We want our kids successful instead of spiritually defined. How spiritually defined are our children? When people look at them, do they see any spirituality? Do they sense a desire for them to serve the Lord? We want their future set in the real world. Here's what you invest in, and here's how you get the fastest, the quickest road to success financially or being financially independent. We want them successful in the real world instead of preparing them properly for the next world. And by the way, that's the world that God says we're citizens of anyway. But why did God compare children specifically to arrows? Now, I understand that this is a very short passage of scripture. It doesn't give a whole lot of detail, but the very fact that God strategically and in his wisdom chose to draw a parallel from with children and arrows, I want to pull out whatever I can from that can help us understand his purpose. Because of the importance of understanding the proper role that our children have, not only in our families, but in God's will, I'd like to take an in-depth look at God's purpose in comparing children to arrows. Here are four factors. Actually, before I do that, I went out of the way to get the shirt, okay? So I might as well show you guys. One is just another way to driving home the point. The title of the message here is very simple, Raising Arrows. Raising Arrows. Thank you, Brother Vatana, for getting this to me last minute there. He didn't finish the back. That's why I'm wearing my jacket right now. It is completely finished here. But that's the title of the message. Number one, arrows are a prepared tool. They are a prepared tool. In other words, they don't come ready-made. Raw material is put together in the hand of a skillful person. It could be a blacksmith, could be a machinist, it could be the archer himself, which then turns those raw materials into something effective, something spectacular, something sufficient for its intended purpose. The same applies with our children. They come into this world raw. We often say, man, it'd be nice for our children to come into this world with an instruction booklet. And I've said that a couple of times out of the five kids that I've had. But in reality, God did give us an instruction booklet. He gave us the Word of God. And it's our job to be diligent in studying everything the Bible says about child rearing and trying our best to apply it in the way that we train our children. It is our responsibility as parents to prepare our children for God's use. And we're going to talk about purpose in just a little bit here. But that is the intended purpose in which God gave us the kids. So that we can serve God with our family. So that we can train them. So that we can have a multi-generational vision. And we'll mention that a little bit later. Everything they learn about life, they learn it from somewhere. It's either going to be from others or it's going to be from us. Our kids are ever learning. Forming effective arrows takes time. It's not a quick process. It's not an overnight wonder necessarily. By the way, sometimes parents want to dip into their parent mode every now and then, here a little, there a little, and expect their children to turn out for the Lord. It doesn't work that way. It takes time. Parenting is not a part-time job. It is a full-time job. It is something that we ought to take careful consideration and apply much time in to doing. We often heard the phrase, you can't get the product without the process. If we cheat during this stage of parenting and training our children, we are sure to feel it in the end. I have a couple of things here to illustrate, and I'm going to try to do this without hurting myself, okay? I actually was in contact with somebody that is a hunter. And so we have a target that Brother Bichardo is going to hold for me. No, he's not going to do that. Brother Vatan is going to hold it for me. I have a couple different arrows here, and I'm going to kind of demonstrate, but I want to talk about them in a little bit here. First of all, as I mentioned, you can't have the process without the product. What I hold in my hand right now, this is considered a training arrow. And I'm going to break down what every feature on this arrow and the purpose of it and what its use and how it affects the arrow in just a little bit. This is just a training arrow. I'm going to see if I can reach into this thing right here. This is a little bit more dangerous, okay? And I believe the owner of all this stuff is watching very diligently, so I have to be careful here. Here you go. This. We don't mess around with this one. This one can kill bears. I actually had them choose the specific arrows for me to use in my illustration. And these can kill bears. This can kill a moose, which is bigger than a bear. This is the type of arrow I would want to have when I'm out hunting. This is the kind of arrow I would like to have when I'm at meeting the enemies at the gate, amen, getting ready to have some political talk here, all right? This is what I would want to have, but two drastically different arrows. One arrow is made out of carbon fiber. The lightweight helps it to travel. I believe you can have an efficient kill shot at over 100 yards. I just learned that you can go fish hunting with this stuff too. It's pretty crazy. But anyhow, two drastically different arrows, but they're made very differently. One, the arrow tip is very blunt. It's round. It's just meant to pierce into some hay or whatever it may be, some paper or whatever, a foam for target practice. And then this is actually heavier than this, even though this has a steel tip on it. But this, the quality of this arrow, the construction of this arrow will help this arrow to be used in a much efficient way. How about it this evening? What product do we really expect to have with the processes that we are using to train our children? Parents, we are responsible for forging the arrows that God has given to us. Don't be afraid to put these arrows in tough situations in life that will help them be better prepared for God. It is our job. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It is my job to understand the importance that I have given by God to train my children, teach them to read the Bible, teach them to pray, teach them to love souls, teach them to be kind to others, teach them to be a giver, teach them to be somebody that hungers and thirsts for God on a daily basis. It's my responsibility. It's my job. Train up a child. How are we preparing our children for God? Remember, we're not just raising children. We're raising arrows. Number one, arrows are a prepared tool. Number two, arrows are a purposeful tool. The definition of purposeful is full of meaning, significant, having a purpose. Just as each and every part of the arrow is specifically designed, God has also given our children with a specific purpose in mind. For example, can I have this middle microphone here? First, you have the shaft. This is the shaft right here. This is the primary structural element of the arrow in which all others of the other parts of the arrow are attached. The shaft represents the core foundation or identity of this arrow. And the same applies to our children. The shaft represents the identity and the core foundation of our children. You know, I've learned this. Everyone's trying to identify with somebody. And that's no different with parents. It seems that parents are trying to identify their children with some group. Some are trying to get them to be really smart and really into education so that they can identify with the really smart kids and they can go to school or their workplaces and brag about the different scholarships and the different awards that their kids have. And there's nothing wrong with being diligent in school. I believe it's important. However, some parents want their kids to identify with that. Other parents want their kids to identify with maybe being athletic, being strong physically, being fast, being somebody that is a starter on a football team or somebody that gets scholarships because of their ability to throw a football or a basketball, and they practice all the time with sports or basketball or whatever it may be. They want their children to identify with that. But how many of our kids are we striving to have them identify with the wholly committed group of believers that are sold out to the Lord? I don't know about you, but yes, I want my kids smart, and I believe that's important. I want them to know how to play sports, and I want them athletic, but the most important thing for me as a mighty man or someone that's striving to be a mighty parent for the Lord, the most important thing for me is for them to be trained to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just as a Christian, but as a true disciple.
somebody that follows after him. By the way, a shaft is useless unless you add all the other components and attach it to the shaft. Likewise, our children need qualities and traits that are added onto them. So you have the identity, and you may have that identity of wanting your children to live for the Lord. That's kind of a general will of God. But then more specifically, to get to that specific will of God, we have to start adding features to them. We have to start teaching them character. We have to start teaching them good habits in life, which we'll talk about later. Then, not only do you have the shaft, but then you have the knock. This little thing here, and I don't think the camera can see it very well, but it's kind of like a little hook thing here, like a C, a backward C. The knock is the attachment point of this arrow to the bow and to the archer. So I have a bow here. Where's my bow? Here we go. This is an apprentice bow. We'll pull out the other one in just a little bit, all right? Say, why are you holding the apprentice bow? Because everyone looks really nervous whenever I hold that bow in my hand or that arrow in my hand. This is the bow. Okay, I am the parent, which is compared to the mighty man, or that's what I should strive to be. And this is my bow, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But in order for the arrow, and I'm not going to do it, don't worry, okay, to attach to the bow, I got to have that knock. That's the connection point. The knock represents the connection point our children have with others relationally. Okay, I'm going to put this away now. All right? Thank you. Thank you. I shouldn't have brought that out here. First of all, what relationships do our children have? Do we even know? You know, as a principal of the school and as a teacher for over the past 10 years or so, I've learned that there are a lot of parents, and I'm not using this time to make anyone feel bad, but it just learned throughout the years, dealing with a lot of students, that a lot of parents really don't know who their kids' friends are, and it's really sad. I mean, there's times that kids are getting in trouble together, and parents are telling me that's not true. They can't stand the girl, can't stand the guy. I'm like, man, that's pretty good how they're treating their enemies right there, for crying out loud. I wish I could love my enemies like that. They're buddy-buddy. They're with each other all the time. They're back practically sharing chewing gum, all right, for that matter. They are always with each other. And it's really sad because as parents, we have to know who is influencing our children. First of all, our relationship with them. Let's consider, how attached are they to us? Here's a target bow. How attached are they to us? Do we know what's going on in their lives? Do we know their struggles? Do we know their strengths? Do we know the things that bother them? Do we know what they're going through right now? Or is it just high and by? Or is it just this mentality of, you know what, I go to work, I put food on the table, I pay the rent for this place, that's all that I need to be doing as a dad or a mom. But in reality, God doesn't just want us to supply for our children. God wants us to have a relationship with them. By the way, God, he's the greatest supplier of all. He's the greatest provider of all. Was it Jehovah Jireh, my provider? That's one of his names there. And I believe in that. But more than just being a provider, he wants to be our Heavenly Father. He wants to be in a relationship with us. Are we too busy helping everyone and anyone else? And then we put our kids to the side. By the way, I love the ministry, and I love the fact that our church, and especially Pastor Myers, he doesn't gear ministry in a way that's going to pull me away from my kids. However, ministry should never, ever get in the way of us reaching our children. That ought to be first priority. By the way, it doesn't have to. We could do it side by side. A lot of times people say one or the other, but you could do both. You can do both. Secondly, their relationship with other people. Who are they connected to? Who are they connected to? Who is influencing them? You know, again, going back to what I said, a lot of times there are a lot of people that are in our kids' lives, in our kids' ears, in our kids' eyes, and we have no idea. Or we just think they're a good person. We just think they're harmless, but in reality, they are teaching our kids something. And by the way, as a principal of our school, I wish I can say that no one has ever been influenced for wrong, but there's been some pretty tough conversations I've had to have with parents about people influencing their kids and being the first to show them something that was wicked, or being the first to introduce them to this song, or being the first to introduce them to this website. And it's really sad. We got to be aware of what's going on and who's influencing our children. So that's a knock. Then you have the fletching. This is the fletching right here. By the way, on a traditional bow, the fletching would be considered as a feather, but these are more modern bows, so they're made out of plastic, the veins here. The fletching stabilizes the arrow during flight by causing it to spin as it leaves the the bow. This is equivalent to the spiral spin that a quarterback would put on a football. So in reality, that fletching is responsible for making sure that this arrow flies in a straight and balanced flight. This same balance is imperative in having in our children. By the way, here's a question. How balanced are our children? It seems more often than not, or more common than not, that one of the areas of balance that most children struggle with is in this area of spiritual things. And you know why that is? Because we struggle with it. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:15-16, but as he which hath called you is holy, but be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I remember as a teenager, one of the terms that was thrown around a lot was holier than thou. And I almost tried my best to make sure that no one ever called me that. But then when I went to Bible college, I believe it was Pastor Mike Johnson, he started preaching. And you know him, he preaches very fiery. And he started saying, you know what? If you've never been holier than thou at least one time in your life, you're probably not doing something right. And he started to instill in me as a college student, there's nothing wrong with trying to be spiritual. There's nothing wrong with trying to be holy. It doesn't mean that you think that you're perfect. And it doesn't mean that you think that you're better than somebody else. But there ought to be some things that you do in your prayer time, in your Bible time, that cause you to have godly character and resemble Christ to the point where there are going to be some people that look at you and maybe feeling bad for themselves, that they want to throw out bad terms at you. But in reality, you're not doing anything wrong. You're just trying to be holy. That's what the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. How balanced are our children when it comes to spiritual things? How about it? Are our children comfortable talking about spiritual things, or is the only way that we can have a conversation with them is if we talk about a video game, if we talk about social media, if we talk about something, some kind of toy or whatever it may be? I would hope to think that we're training our kids in such a way that we can talk about what was learned from church tonight or this morning or on Thursday. How spiritual are they? Do they know how to pray? Are they in their Bibles? I remember probably a couple months ago, I had one of my kids pray, and they're all young still. But I looked at my wife right afterwards. I said, you know what, honey? I feel that they should know how to pray a little bit better than that. And you might say, you're putting a lot of pressure. It's called training. It's called training. We train them to do everything else. We train them to read. We train them to learn how to play sports, and we train them how to do this, that, or the other. But I started to teach. I explained to one of them that we should start off our prayer with this and by just letting God know what he means to us. Wow, that's pretty cool. And by the way, Daddy likes that too, okay? And then I started to train him the different aspects of prayer and Thanksgiving time and then confession time, the things that we did wrong, and we shouldn't wait for a long time to do that. And then we started to talk about the other aspects. By the way, they're only, my son Andy, 5 years old, and he still doesn't have it completely down yet, but it's my job to train him. I want him to learn how to pray. Are they in their Bibles? By the way, if they know how to read, they ought to be reading the Bible in some way or the other. I felt so convicted, I'm embarrassed because I'm sure everybody else has started their kids earlier. But CJ, 8 years old, I've just been having him read like a chapter a day for a long time. And he'll read a little bit more sometimes, and he has his other little Bible book with pictures and all that, amen? Kind of like his mom. But anyhow, I looked at my wife beginning of this year, and we actually started a little late. I said, honey, he should be reading his Bible through. He can read. He may not be able to read as fast as me, and man, Good Night Chronicles took like 40 minutes a day, bless God, to read 3 or 4 chapters. But you know what? That's a goal of his. And the first couple months was really tough. CJ, did you read it? CJ, and he knows. He's listening right now. But now he's like, Dad, got it done. Dad, got it done. Are they in our Bibles? Are there wrong influences in their lives that are keeping them unbalanced? Imagine this. Every time that we allow the wrong influences to get into our children's lives, it's as if we are removing parts of the fletching. And by the way, at first, you don't notice a big difference. But the more that you remove, the more drastic the flight. Let's be careful how we are affecting our children for the Lord. Then we have the arrow tip. By the way, this is mean right here. This is very, you got an edge there. You got razor blade edges there. This is intended to protect. This is intended to feed you. This is intended to scare people off. You can do it. You can kill coronavirus with this, man. Good night. You could do a lot with this arrow here. This is pretty intense. The arrow tip is the point of impact. The reason why that arrow exists is to pierce its target, right? That's the reason. If I have an arrow and it can't do any piercing, what's the purpose of the arrow? To tickle my enemy? To just kind of give the bear a little bruise as he's rushing toward me? No, the purpose of this arrow is to pierce through the objective in which was been set out for it. The same applies for our children. The purpose of our children is to pierce through whatever obstacles that God has for them in preparation for them to be something mighty for God. If these indeed are tools that we're supposed to use, our children are tools for us to fulfill God's will effectively in our lives, then we got to make sure that they have a sharp arrow so that they can be effective. Using the right material and taking the necessary time to form our arrow tips will ensure that our children will make a tremendous impact for the Lord. It's worth mentioning the reason why many of our kids are not hungering for God and don't have any plans to do anything for God may be because we have not sincerely instilled in them the purpose to do so. Remember, we are preparing our children for God's general purpose. Yes, living for God, seeing people saved. But more specifically, this arrow tip is the specific will of God. It's the mission. It's the mission. Whether it be a Sunday school teacher, whether it be a pastor, whether it be a missionary, whether it be a Christian school teacher, whether it be a faithful layman that is just doing all that they can to serve God on their free time and be able to support the work of the local church, that specific mission is what God wants our children to be effective in. We've got to take the time to sharpen that arrow and make sure it's ready for use. Are our children en route to fulfilling God's purpose for their lives? Remember, we're not just raising children. We're raising arrows. And number three, arrows are a protected tool. Arrows are a protected tool. They're carried around in a quiver. I don't have a traditional quiver because Amazon was late. Amen. Supposed to show up yesterday. But this is actually a modern day quiver. It's attached to here you go. This is it. This is what the quiver is attached to. The purpose of this quiver is to house, make sure I don't have to buy anybody a bow there, because this costs more than I make in a week. Or 2 weeks. There you go. There you go. Thank you, Pastor Myers. But anyhow, this is a quiver. There's a specific purpose for this quiver. It's to protect the arrows. And in each and every one of these sockets is one of those sharp, bear-killing arrows. As the archer protects his arrows by carrying them around in a quiver, likewise, we should protect our children and make sure that they don't get harmed. Now, I'm not talking about nicks and scratches. I'm not talking about our boys and our girls falling down and us going to have to go by and blow on it. If anything, you're going to create more bacteria on that surface. Okay, that's bleeding. Make sure they learn how to get up and be strong. I'm not talking about protecting them from learning how to solve their own problems. I'm not talking about protecting them from just petty little things. But we need to protect our children from things that can cause them damage. Remember, an arrow that is damaged is an arrow that cannot fly straight. And if an arrow cannot fly straight, it is a useless tool. We protect our cell phones and our iPads because they are highly valuable to us. We protect our cars with kill switches and low jack and clubs and high-end alarms because they are very precious to us. Yet in God's eyes, far more precious than any of those valuable items that I mentioned are our children. Our children are the key in making sure that we have a multi-generational vision. Do you understand? Do I understand this evening that the reason why, one of the main reasons why God gives us children in the first place is to make sure that perpetually in our family we will be serving God for many years to come. For God to give me and entrust me children as a gift from him, as a heritage from him, is a responsibility that I have to teach my children that when I'm older and when I'm gone and I'm in heaven, that, hey, carry this Bible and don't just have it in your bookshelf, but know what the Word of God says, and don't just utilize that church as a place to go to for Easter or Christmas time or Mother's Day, but utilize it as a time for you to go be under that pastor and serve God there and be faithful and be effective. And the arrow that I spent time trying to raise and sharp and sharpen and make sure that it flies in a balanced and straight fashion. Utilize this in a mighty way for many years to come. And don't just stop there. Teach your children too.
and let that continue. And by the way, if we do that, our children will not just know of God, they will know him personally. How about it tonight? Are we protecting our arrows the way a mighty man protects his arrows? And by the way, let me say this. If they're surfing the internet watching unsaved people live like unsaved people, they probably won't have an appetite for righteousness. Or it will be greatly quenched from what it could be. By the way, let me say this here. I believe one of the traps that we fall into as good parents, we're talking about people that have good intentions, is that we see spiritual characteristics in our children. And we start to justify the things that they want to do or the things that we allow them to do. For example, well, my kid's in the bus route, so obviously social media is not really, or improper use of social media is not messing them up. Obviously, the video game, spending 5 hours a day, is not messing up. He has a Bible, and I see him reading occasionally, obviously. But I don't know about you. I love my children. I want them to be highly successful for the Lord. You see, one of the greatest days that I have to look forward to, and I hope that I can drive this point home, is that when I stand before God one day and I have that conversation with him, that we're not just going to judge me in my own life and things that I've done and the way that my wife and I served him, but he's going to look at my kids. And I want him, just like at a fine arts, that any parent would want their child to win first place or do really well in a competition that they train for. And life is not a competition, but here's my point. When my children stand before God, the greatest thing that I can hear is, well done. You're not just skilled in video games or skilled in surfing the net or skilled in being worldly, but you have a heart for God. And I want to be a part of that. I want that to be in my life. If they're watching ungodly movies or shows or sitcoms or dramas and all the junk that's out there, and I said junk, on a regular basis, they probably will lose their biblical perspective and world and biblical worldview. And by the way, we're not going to see it all the time. And one of the reasons why this happens is because we do it ourselves. And we feel bad to tell them not to do it. But if it's not godly and it doesn't serve any eternal purpose, and I'm all for entertainment. You can have fun. I watch cooking shows, and they don't pray before they eat, the shows that I watch. I get it. But we're talking about things that are anti-God. We're talking about things that promote relationships the wrong way without properly getting parents involved, touching before marriage, all that stuff. We got to be careful here. Colossians 3:2, the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Are we taking the steps to protect our children from being tainted by the world? Remember, we're raising arrows. And my last point, arrows are a projectile tool. A projectile tool. This would mean that it needs to be propelled by another object. Missiles are propelled by missile launchers. Grenades are propelled by grenade launchers. Cannonballs are propelled by cannons. As the arrow, children are meant to be launched into a life full of commitment to the Lord and propelled by the bow of godly parenting. This is kind of heavy, so I won't be holding this very long, okay? By the way, this is a very high-end bow here. It's 70 pounds. You say, how does that feel? This is how much I could pull right there, okay? And actually, you're not supposed to draw it without having something in it. I read this afternoon, okay? Not all, but maybe some of our children, or actually more than are being, or that are signing up, are called to full-time service. Actually, let me say that again. Not all, maybe, are called to full-time service, but all are called to full-time Christian. You know, sometimes I think we try to separate the two. You know, my child's not going to be a pastor, so he doesn't have to walk with God. You know, my daughter's not going to be a pastor's wife, so they're not going to need to be a part of the Walk with God Club and read their Bible faithfully and pray. But in reality, all of us should be doing something. That's why I appreciate this push that pastor has been doing, if you notice, for the last couple of years. But I know what our plans are. We're trying to push everyone to be a disciple. It shouldn't just be, okay, that's for that guy over there. That's for the full-time Christian service. No, everybody, as we heard this morning, is supposed to bear fruit. Hey, I'm glad if you have a 40-hour week job or a 50-hour week job and you've got things and plans already, but you've got to find some time to bear fruit. That's our responsibility, not as a full-time Christian worker, but as a full-time Christian. That's the purpose in which God saved us. And we heard about that this morning. The object of choice to propel an arrow, as I mentioned, is the bow. The bow represents the tools and methods we will use in preparing or propelling our children for the Lord, as it is important for an arrow to be made with proper
material, so is it for the arrow. Man, there's a lot of intricate features on here. And by the way, as I mentioned, this represents the avenues and the methods in which we're using to rear our children. Some of us are following a worldview, a worldly perspective. Just train them to make a lot of money. And just kind of don't hurt their feelings. You know, don't break their will. And by the way, the Bible is the opposite of that. We're supposed to break their will. And there's a way to do that. And we're using the wrong methods in raising our children. We're wondering why we're getting the wrong results. Different bows are constructed for different purposes. Some are constructed for decor. Others are created or made for the purpose of target training. This one, as I mentioned, is made to kill, okay? It's made to hunt animals. What are we training our kids for? Decor? And by the way, I wrote this down. It's kind of sad, but sometimes we're more impressioned to have our kids dress right and talk right on the outside than to be what they should be on the inside. And I'm all for teaching our kids to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. But at the end of the day, I want that, but I also want it internally. I want them right with God. I want them loving God on the inside. I want them to be a quality arrow. Hunting. Every detail matters if you think about it. Some game that you hunt could be a rabbit. It could be a squirrel. I don't know why you would waste a good bow on that or an arrow on that. But other situations are life and death. Other situations require you to be able to have something that's very reliable and for sure going to hit its target. You could be hunting for boar. The person that loaned this to me is going to go hunting for boar pretty soon. Wild boar. The ones that, not just bacon. Bacon with horns. Okay? And those things will turn around and try to rush you after you either miss it or hit it. They'll turn around and try to attack you on its last couple of moments of life. We got to make sure we're using the right tools. Likewise, the object that God has chosen to launch our children to his perfect will, just as the bow for the arrow, that would be us. If you are a parent tonight, and whether you're sitting next to your kids or not, your kids are arrows and you are the bow that God intended to launch your children into God's perfect will. The school is there and we will help you. The church is there and we will help you. However, it is our responsibility to make sure we're training our children properly. What is our goal? What is the purpose we want for our kids? If giving our children over to God for his perfect will is truly our desire, then don't skimp on the bow. Don't just try to guess on how to parent. Don't just try to guess on how to train your children. Don't just try to guess on how you can have a relationship with them. Go to the Bible. Go to biblical preaching and learn the proper methods for training our children. God's methods involve the Bible. God's methods involve effort. God's method must involve selflessness. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not only does the arrow need to be propelled by the bow, but it also needs to be propelled by a skilled person, and I'm done. We refer to this person as the archer or the mighty man, and this represents us as parents. As the archer, we must be skilled in using our arrows through daily practice and study. See, I can't expect, now when I went to go pick this up, the gentleman let me draw it, and I was not going to do that. Good night. I mean, he showed me some videos of things that he's done. I go, there's no way I'm going to draw this thing because someone's going to die, and I don't want it to be me, okay? It's scary. You know why? I haven't practiced. I just tried to pull the 70-pound thing. I think I was looking for a setting for 5 pounds for crying out loud. It's tough. It takes some skill. Can I say something? Parenting is not meant to be easy. It takes skill. It takes time. It takes training. It takes effort. It seems that whenever we get a new job, we get sufficient training. But then we get children, we shoot from the hip. We don't ask anybody that's been a parent for advice. Let's be very careful about that. How skilled are we at raising and understanding our children? Do we take the time to read about it? Do we take the time to evaluate the positives and negatives of our parenting? And maybe it's because I'm a bad parent, but often I'll look at my wife and say, honey, we need to adjust the way that we're dealing with this child. I think I was too hard. I need to figure this out here because I don't want my kids to be bitter at me. Take the time to evaluate because it's important.
As the archer, we must be reasonable with our expectations. An archer that is new to archery cannot expect to shoot his arrows as efficiently as a seasoned veteran archer. The same applies to an archer that doesn't practice to get better. He cannot expect to have the same results as a highly skilled archer. I can't tell you how many times kids will get a lot of pressure from their parents and they'll meet with me in my office and go, man, my dad and my mom is harping on me really hard, Brother Charlie, about getting better grades, but they don't spend any time helping me. And by the way, let's be reasonable. If we're not led by God ourselves, and if we're not following God on a daily basis, you can't expect your children to do something great for God. Sure, it may happen by the grace of God. However, don't have unreasonable expectations. We've got to put in the work. We got to put it in. Are we expecting our children to be better as children than we expect ourselves to be as parents? You can't have the process, product without the process. And then finally here, as the archer, we must understand that our children, like arrows, can go where we can't. This is my favorite point. Because I don't speak to as many people as Pastor does. But the few parents that I speak to, the overwhelming message that I hear from them, Brother Pichardo, is, what can I say? I messed up. By the way, you counsel people. What? Brother Charlie, you don't understand. I'm going to tell him to do this or tell her to do that when I messed up as a young kid or I messed up as a young adult. But in reality, if we understand what an arrow does, it goes farther, or it can go farther, right? It can go to places we can't go. Thank God that I get to serve him as a principal, and that's a great title. Thank God that I get to be an assistant pastor, and that's a great title. Thank God that God allows me to lead souls on a decently regular basis, and I'm thankful for that, and I could do a lot more than I'm doing right now. However, I want my kids to go farther than I have ever gone. My intention is to train them in a way where, you know what, CJ and Andy and Audrey, Daddy didn't have Christian parents growing up. And that's okay. God brought me to where I am today by the grace of God. However, for you, God gave you something. God gave you Christian family. God gave you a Christian school. God gave you the opportunity to learn to read your Bible when you're in third grade. I started reading my Bible when I was like 14. And I think I finished my first time through when I was 18. 4 years. My 8-year-old is going to do it in a year by God's grace. You know what, though? That's okay. Arrows are meant to go farther. Don't limit your children because of what you've done. And I'm sorry for what you've done, but you didn't have what they have. We got a great pastor. We've got great ministries here. Not only a pastor, but Sunday school teachers, Bible professors, Christian school teachers, nursery workers, all these people that are here to help us train our children in the right way. Don't limit your children because of what you've done. And by the way, if you've got a kid or a child that's throwing in your face mistakes that you've made, number one, they have no right to do that. But number two, maybe it does take a little bit of humility. Pull them aside and say, you're right. But guess what? I am not going to let that happen to you. I love you too much. There's no way all the heartache and all those years of missing God's will and all the struggles and the heartache with all that baggage that I had to carry around because I didn't have things right. I didn't have a relationship right. I didn't have a good relationship with my dad and my mom. God forbid, I am not going to let you do that because I love you too much. God wants me to train you to be a good arrow. How about it? Are we willing to be a mighty archer and use the right bows in order to properly project our children forward for God? I think the greatest things that we can hear from God as a parent is that we took the time to prepare our children. We took the time to see the true purpose of our children. And we diligently protected our children and were willing to project them forward for the Lord. Remember, we're not just raising children. We're raising arrows. Let's go ahead and pray this evening. Father, thank you so much for the biblical applications that we get to make with simple objects like arrows. And to think, dear God, everything you do it on purpose. And that includes for the kids that you've given to us. Every son, every daughter, it's intentional. And Lord, I don't want to limit my children. God, I can easily, in my flesh, I can tear up that fletching. I can cause them to do my own will. I can cause them to go astray And a lot of times it may not be my intention, but maybe the struggles I have in my own life. Oh God, help me to be what I need to be as a mighty man, as a mighty parent, so that my children can be successful in their pursuit for God. I love you, Lord. And be with our church family and be with all of our families and our children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.